Well, hello there, podcast. This is Clinton, and this is another long-lost recording of the Visit Orphan podcast. You know, when I originally started this, had this idea, I thought that I would record something every week. I had this grand idea that we would maybe speak for a few minutes in the car on the way to the orphanage that we were visiting, and then have some follow-up afterwards, you know, on the way home. It was really difficult to do that in the car driving, and lots of ambient noise on the highway and in my car. And so then there was a time when I came home and I recorded the whole episode after I got home, and that worked okay. Still had the thought in my head that this is something that would happen every week, but since it's been about 6 or 8 weeks since the last recording, then you've probably figured out by now that is not the case. So I'm not sure how often I'll do that, but I want to do one today. So here it is, middle of April. This is the first time we go to this one particular orphanage, a toddler orphanage, ages infants up to age 5. We go there almost every week. This is the first time this year that they've let the kids be outside, right? Okay, so the weather's been bad. Spring's been a little bit late coming here, just the way that it has been back in the States. It was beautiful today, though, 75, 80 degrees. Finally, the kids get to go outside and we get to play with them. A couple of things happened today. There's one pretty little toddler girl. She's about 3 years old. I met her sister and mother last year, okay? I don't know that I realized it then, but I found out today that the mother and the older sister live right down the street from this orphanage. How crazy is that? I'm not sure of the details. We tried to talk to the workers. Apparently, this younger child, the one that's in the orphanage, went straight from birth hospital to this orphanage. So the parent, so the government, you know, terminated rights or whatever. I'm not sure exactly how that worked. Actually, what I heard was that this child just received status and is available for domestic adoption just in the last few days. So here's a child that's in this orphanage. Her real mother, her sister, lives right down the street, and in fact can come down and visit, but very rarely do. We were outside in the front of the orphanage playing today, so neighborhood kids could see that we were there playing. So the older sister is only a few years older. The older sister and her neighbor come in and join us in playing with the children. So the little girl that's in the orphanage, her demeanor changed like night and day. She was running and playing and happy and, you know, playing with us. Before the sister got there, but then when the sister got there, she just turned dark and melancholy immediately. She was very clingy with the older sister, which I think is a good thing. You know, there's some attachment there, right? She knows that that's her sister. The older sister reciprocated. The older sister held the little sister, petted on her, patted her, loved her. It was really, I mean, that was beautiful. But also, dang, that's hard. So it raises the question, and I kind of glanced through Google tonight trying to find an answer, and I really didn't find an answer. I don't know that if there is any one answer. But the question is, at what point does an institutionalized kid become aware that there is such a thing as a family, as a mama and daddy, as a home? Right? You know it has to happen at some point. They have to become aware of that at some point. They have to know at some point that when their peers, the other kids, are there one day and gone the next because they were adopted or taken into foster care, they have to know that there's this thing as, you know, family or home. And so here's what I'm going to say about this little kid, the younger one that's in the orphanage. She's about 3 years old. She knows there's such a thing as family. She knows there's such a thing as home. She knows she has a mother and a sister. She's 3 years old. She knows all that, and she knows that she can't go home. She was crying today. She wanted to go home with the sister. She was crying because she wanted the sister to stay. You know, I witnessed almost this exact same thing about a week ago in an orphanage with teenagers, where the older one is about 18 or 19 now. She aged out and moved into a transition home that our church works with here in town. And she has a 15-year-old sister that's still at the orphanage. I don't know why the transition home didn't take both sisters at the same time, but so we took the older sister with us to visit these kids last week. And same thing, this 15-year-old sister is crying. She wants the older sister to either stay there or she wants to go, you know, to the new home with the older sister. They know. And, you know, the next question would be, how does that make them feel? What do they think? Do they think that they don't get to go home because there's something wrong with them? Yeah, probably. Witnessed something else today at the orphanage. One of the little boys just is crying, and we're trying to figure out, you know, who did what? Did somebody snatch the toy away from him? Did some, you know, all of those things will make these kids cry. So on the way home, I'm speaking with my Ukrainian friends, and here's what they said. Here's what she said is the reason the little boy was crying. It's because one of the workers was picking on him. One of the orphanage staff told him, "You're not my favorite. I don't like you anymore. I don't like you. I like that one." Okay, now, you can get away with that, joking around with a kid that is positively, clearly attached. You know, one of my best friends, I can remember forever him telling his kids, you know, to go play in the street. He was playing, and they knew he was playing. These kids don't have that kind of attachment, and so they don't know that that's play. If the lady was playing, they don't know that it's playing. One more thing from today. So, hey, I don't know, as a youth minister, as a children's minister, as a minister, if I'm supposed to have favorites or not. People say we don't, but we do. I do. I always have. I love all the kids that I've ministered with, but I like some more than others. Man, there's one little girl at this place right now that I just adore. I fell in love with her about a year ago or more, and I adore this kid. There's been a couple of times when it seemed like somebody was going to adopt her. She is available. She has status to be adopted domestically, not internationally. So we heard that there was people that were visiting, but then they just never visited again and never heard anything more about it. Well, then we heard today that somebody came yesterday, said that they are pursuing to adopt this little girl. And then they came back this morning, and that's a really good sign, I think, you know, come 2 days in a row. And, you know, my prayer is I hope this kid does find a forever family and somebody that's going to just love her so well that she'll be able to put behind her the trauma that she's experiencing right now being in an institution. There's another part of me, a really selfish part of me, and it's like, man, I want this kid for myself. Okay, that's not going to happen. I'm not married. If I were to get married, I would want to pursue this kid. So, man, I came home from this visit today just with a really contorted heart tonight. Just about all those things that we observed today and my thoughts and my feelings about the little kid that I would like. Man, there's another story from today. So this older sister, she came with her next door neighbor, another little girl about the same age. And I noticed that little girl, you know, like a puppy dog, you know, that's staring at you when you're eating some food or something. I noticed this girl kind of giving us this look when we were playing with the kids, like, why aren't you playing with me? And so I started kicking the ball around with her, throwing the ball with her, and blowing bubbles with her, and she just soaked it up. So here's the kid that lives down the street that lives with her family, but I would bet everything I have that she does not have a father that's kicking the ball out in the yard with her and spending time with her and loving her. And maybe not any adult that's doing that. We asked the workers, and they said, yeah, that's pretty much. Parents are alcoholics. They live right down the street. Good grief. what a world we live in. Now, this is the Visit Orphan podcast, and we'll see you again sometime. Hey, if you want to look up some old music, there's a song that's been on my heart today. It's an old, like, 1991, what's the guy's name? Not Stephen Curtis Chapman, the other Stephen. Forgets me, but the name of the song is Shade for the Children. And that's been on my heart. That's what I want to be. I want to be shade for the children, refuge in the storm. All right, until next time. Bye, guys.